The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Ciara Doherty, broadcaster, Killian Woods, senior business reporter with the Business Post, are with me. An awful lot of focus this weekend on Howard Lutnick, the US Secretary of Commerce, who is describing Ireland's, quotes, tax scam as costing America trillions of dollars. We couldn't be any more in the crosshairs.
And it's not the first time he has said that. He was repeating comments, I think, that he made off the back of Micheál Martin's visit to Washington last week, that it is a tax scam, as he called it, being operated here in Ireland. And he is unequivocal. He is out to get it. It's going to be just a really interesting couple of weeks, I think, for the government here, for the EU Commission, and for those businesses, for the pharma industry in Ireland, to see how they're going to be affected. We will find out more on April 2nd. Cliff Taylor has an interesting piece in the Irish Times today, and he said, really, the big question is whether or not they are going to come at Europe as a whole, or whether they are going to pick out individual countries and perhaps tariff them differently. And if they do that, then Ireland is without a shadow of a doubt in the crosshairs. And one of the points that Cliff Taylor makes is we're on our own, he feels, within the EU if that happens, because we don't have a huge amount of support within the EU when it comes
We have irked our EU neighbours on this front for some time.
And he also said that, you know, the issues around defence and defence spending and our commitments have also irked the EU in recent months. So we don't have a huge amount of supporters there. The one thing we have in our favour, I think, is that it's not going to work for Trump. It is going to collapse the markets. Everybody thinks that. Collapse has been perhaps a bit dramatic, but it's going to turn into a bit of an unworkable mess going forward. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to cause huge amount of disruption in the short term. So worrying, definitely.
Well, what's the Rockefeller line about you can remain, the markets can remain volatile for longer than you can remain solvent? The fact that it may all end may not be much solace if we're broke in the process.
I think unlike Liz Truss, who couldn't ride that wave, I think he has the moxie to ride that wave. The Trump administration can ride that wave. It has a mandate, has a very clear mandate to pursue these policies.
And Lutnick thinks he's going to pull a trillion out of Ireland.
Well, that's probably the tap he could turn on. Like, there's certain things that they're going after here, and a lot of their attack on the Europe, especially the Irish tax scam, the Irish tax scam, to quote him, did facilitate a lot of FDI into the country, and some of that is a tap you can turn off. It's intellectual property that is, you know, numbers on a page that can be potentially turned off. And they were going after that in the last administration as well, and the Biden administration conveniently kept all that in place also because they like those policies. What they can turn off is the bricks and mortars on plants out in Athenry or in Clare and Shannon, where they've actually built actual plants that can't be just taken out. And so
can you explain the separation of those? Because in one aspect of what we do for things like pharma, we make pills and medicines. So we make buckets of stuff for Pfizer. We make things like hips. We make contact lenses. That's not the IP that Lutnick is talking about.
No, that we're talking about tariffs maybe coming on those sort of goods going to the US, which just won't work. Because they need, because we've shown, and they know themselves, those are so crucial. They need that coming to the country. It's also debatable whether the tariffs should apply to that, because it kind of, when it gets to the US, is it an actual Irish good coming in? But no, they're talking about what it seems like, and he's talking about the tax scam, is how Ireland attracts them here to do more FDI that puts the plants in place. Because that's what they want, jobs. They don't just want the trillions on their balance sheet. They also want jobs for America. But we've taken them, and I don't think they have enough tenures in a row to get those back. Awful.
No, and the thing is that a lot of those industries that are here also are going to want access to the EU market, particularly if there are sort of tariffs in place. So it's not going to be beneficial for them to up sticks, uproot and shift everything back to the UK or the US and then suddenly be paying EU tariffs as well. So,
his argument is you can shift the intellectual property by simply accounting for it differently. There is not much stickiness to IP, and Ireland is making 60 billion in his measurement per annum off taxing that IP and transactions related to it.
But I think it is more than the IP, because I think for Trump it has to look physical, and an IP has to be tangible, and he wants to see a factory opening in the, you know, Midwest that's recruiting people and that is producing pharma. That's what he wants, I think, more necessarily than the IP.
To do that will be required them to relax migration and immigration, because we've only been able to do that because we've allowed immigration, we've allowed people to come to work, because people working in those plants are not all, like, they've come here to work in those jobs. They've gotten work permits and they need to. So it's to get those physical jobs, they'll need to relax because of migration, because they don't have the workforce.
Text saying, individual countries in the EU cannot have tariffs placed against them. Industry types can be selected, but only at an EU level. But I assume if you cherry pick the industry, like if you go after champagne, it's not going to hurt the Italians too much. There's not too much we can do about it, so don't worry. This is in relation to potential tariffs or tax change coming. Is there much we can do about it? Because I assume the negotiations are done at an EU level and we just try to be willing participants.
Well, not necessarily. If they're going to sort of divide and conquer here and actually separate out EU countries and try and, specifically target countries, then I think Ireland probably is trying to negotiate behind the scenes. I mean, I think it was in the last administration when he targeted whiskey. I think Scottish whiskey was targeted, but Irish whiskey wasn't. And that was because of diplomacy that was happening behind the scenes. And we were able to protect Ireland. So I think Ireland, we might say we are going through the EU in this and the EU is taking a lead, but I bet you behind the scenes that's not happening.
I wonder, do we have maybe exhausted some of our goodwill through Brexit? We asked for a lot of goodwill during Brexit and maybe we had to use it all there. We didn't know there was going to be another Trump presidency and we might have exhausted it.
But as you say, a lot of this does go to that central issue that has annoyed other European member states for a long time, which is our capacity to attract FDI.
I'm not going to put my name behind. I'm saying tax scam in quotes. He's not necessarily completely wrong. Like there's huge IRS cases ongoing now about big companies, I won't name who they're, big multinationals who are American, routing money through Ireland. Like that's beyond, that's 10 years old, it's a decade old. They've been going after them for a long time. So this is not new and they probably have a pretty good point.
In a text that I never thought I would read, a sentence I never thought I would say aloud, the government need to ask Conor McGregor to talk to President Trump regarding tariffs. McGregor should be our ambassador to America. Well, this brings us to the exercise in creation of dissent that was McGregor's visit to the White House last week, because obviously they used it as an opportunity to start hairs running in respect of immigration by falsely mischaracterizing a Eurostat figure in relation to nationals and non-nationals in the country. This has led to a man by the name of Garan Noon being, if not cancelled, at least paused on social media. For many people, they'll say, well, we know who Garan Noon is. For many, they won't have a breeze. Here's first of all what he had to say on his social media.
My opinion on Conor McGregor is irrelevant, but I don't think he's a good person. I don't think it's particularly hard to find evidence of that. But it doesn't surprise me in the least to see a lot of people agreeing with what he was saying. There absolutely is an immigration issue in Ireland. That doesn't mean that people feel like we shouldn't take the refugees that we're able to take. It doesn't mean that people feel like people shouldn't be able to come here for better opportunities. But the systems that we have in place are being taken advantage of.
Okay, with apologies to Garan Noon and his fans, for those who aren't familiar with him, who is he?
Anton, I'm now 34 years old. I can't be the, you know, the vehicle for your youth to go to the youth anymore. I've just gone beyond that. But
well, there's no point asking me and Anton, okay, definitely.
Garan Noon. Garan Noon is a social media star, has a very good voice, has a very good singing voice, and likes cups of tea and does a lot of, you know, social media content and comedy stuff around having a cup of tea. And now he also has what appears to be some interesting views on the state of Ireland society, saying, because they're loaded comments. He's saying that Ireland is, he's implying Ireland's not safe. And if you, and you just need to go outside your, I don't know if it was in that clip, but if you just leave your house, you will see Ireland is not safe anymore, that there is an immigration issue, that there's, we're suppressing what people are feeling. You know, it's a lesson.
It's quite a departure from his lane of cups of tea.
It is. And I think we've gone through stage one of this, which is people, the pile-on from people who disagree with him. And then we've gone to the next stage, which is the reverse pile-on on the people who piled on the first stage who are supporting him. But, and they're saying, well, the majority agree with him, but I don't know how you can be cancelled. If the majority agree with you, how can you be cancelled by the minority? And he's taken himself off Instagram and TikTok.
Deleted accounts or just...
We don't know. He deactivated. It looks like, I would be shocked if he's deleted his accounts. He's deactivated his accounts, I guess. But it's this example of, it is on him with a following on TikTok, 1.2 million, I think it was, before he deactivated it.
1.2 million.
It's on him, actually, to be correct. Or is it more?
1.5 million. I mean, he's a huge profile.
He has an obligation to be correct in what he says. I believe not inflammatory, to a sense that it would cause...
Does he? Can he not say whatever he likes?
He can say whatever he can say. He can say, but I think he is on him to be correct in what he says.
Is it?
Yeah.
For a private individual, he's not a journalist. He's not a media organization.
I think he has. I think it's obliged on all of us to be correct in what we say. It is not like absolutely. There's an immigration issue in Ireland. Is that absolutely correct?
But is the onus upon him that you are suggesting that he has a function of the scale of his audience, or do you think that anybody who ever takes to social media must fact check themselves before expressing an opinion?
I think it's good for our society if we go around saying correct things.
Not politically correct.
I'm just being factually correct.
You're talking about being factually correct.
But the factually correct thing you're referring to here
is the line in his statement, which is our towns and especially our cities are becoming much less safe. That's one of the lines. And, you know, I remember covering this in the programme back in, I think it was March or May in 2023, where the Gardaí actually came out and unequivocally put out a statement to say there is no evidence that there has been an increase in crime that would correlate to the increase in immigration. They said that. So I do actually think, yes, if you have a profile like this and you're speaking to 1.5 million people, yeah, I do think you have a responsibility to be correct. And the thing is, if you're not correct, then you have to be open to correction.
But hang on a minute. In his defence, can he not say, what I am saying is that the way that people, because he's talking about people having a sense that they are silenced, is he not making a point that says there is evidently an issue with immigration? There is also an issue with safety within our cities. People are conflating the two. This should be talked about. There should be a discourse. And by saying that, he finds himself piled on in silence.
There's things you said there that are not like it is fair to say, I think, that some views have been suppressed and that there's not been engagements with communities about what's going on. You see that, like, just the example comes to mind is Drogheda. They had a hotel. It's been shut down. Now they have no hotel. And that seems to have sprung on them. And there was also issues with in certain north inner city Dublin communities who were not being engaged with. That is suppression of their views on it. Mm-hmm. And they're allowed to have their views on it. Garen, like you know, anyone can have a view that
Well, it's poor communication rather than suppression.
You can have a view that, and it's. I think it's okay to have a view. You can say you have a view that we shouldn't have any immigrants come to the country. You can say that, but I don't agree with that. But you're not allowed to say there's a link between crime and migration. Because that's not true. And when that is true, then you can say it. But if there is no link, you can't say that.
Like, I do agree with him that we need to be able to have this conversation. I think Pádraig Tobin has come out today from AIN2 and said, if we don't have this conversation, then people are having it elsewhere. And they're, you know, having this conversation in their own echo chamber.
Can I cut across you briefly on this? Because I don't know what your recollection is of the 2024. But my recollection is, I've had this conversation until I was blue in the face. I had hours of airtime dedicated to this conversation. I waded through millions of column inches of this conversation.
Yes, it's a good point. I mean, it was something when I worked for my previous employer in the Tonight Show, we discussed, debated.
Stay in, stay out.
On a regular basis. So yeah, this idea that we don't have this conversation is wrong. The problem is a lot of the time the conversation gets hijacked by the extremes. And that's what makes this conversation so difficult. So if you say anything, the left are calling you racist. And the right then, people like, you know, Tristan Tate, which a lot of us are very uncomfortable with, will say, you know, Garen Nguyen did nothing wrong. So the extremes also always get involved and they end up trying to champion these people for their own cause. And that's what makes this conversation so difficult.
But isn't the reality that it's not that the extremes are getting involved, is that the extremes have created this conversation. This was created by Conor McGregor going out to the White House, dropping a number that was designed to be inflammatory, being picked up by Elon Musk, which was then amplified and has been amplified. And it was predictable from last weekend that we would be focusing on this weekend because they created.
I think that is a much more worrying thing than the front page of the Irish Times, which is about the tax scam. Because the tax scam is a very policy issue that I think will be resolved eventually. And that's not what we need to worry about, is the long-term degradation of how we talk to each other and talk in society. And that's what they are degrading by having the likes of Conor McGregor go over and just have a free will say whatever he wants on that podium and start pointing fingers at people for being the problem. That's a bigger issue. Normalising that. And that will creep into Irish politics whether we have a far right or not.
Do you think?
Oh, it already has. We're talking about it. You were talking about it last year. This way of talking to each other and about things. Sure, like he doesn't. This thing, Garen Nguyen shouldn't have had to felt the need to deactivate his accounts.
No, and I think nobody actually wants to see the vast majority. No. And I hate to speak about the vast majority because nobody knows who they are anymore. But nobody wants to see a young man who's built up a huge career and has real success and whose livelihood is dependent on his social media presence deactivate his accounts, lose his job, collapse his career. I don't think anybody wants to see that. I think people would like to see him back online. And I think he would be surprised. supported.
53106, if you have any thoughts, that'll cost you 30 cent. If you have thoughts that you don't want to invest money in, 087 1400 106, you can send them in to us on WhatsApp. One final thing that I wanted to get your views on. Were you horrified, Ciara, to discover that the bin lorry is now spying on us?
No. No, I don't understand why people can't recycle properly. It is one of the things I...
Cameras on bin lorries to check, are we recycling properly?
No problem. We have an issue with recycling here. Like, it's not that complicated to get it right, if that's what it takes to get people in Ireland to the point where they can separate their recyclables from their green waste, then so...
So what are they going to do? They're going to they check the footage and then come back to your house and say, come here, you put a pizza box in the wrong bin?
I actually don't really think that's what's going to happen, to be honest. But maybe just the threat of it is enough to get people to wash out their cartons and put it in the right bin.
Well, I think with the pizza boxes, there's now advice on them that you need to put them in the oven and cook the pizza boxes to take the grease out of them to then put the... It just the yeah.
Like that. On behalf of this show and News Talk, I would like to suggest that you don't do that.
That's what it says in the pizza boxes.
Don't double down on it. It says...
But I mean, could you not just bag your waste and they'd never see what goes in? You know,
tie the black bag?
Yeah.
Well, let it be a warning. Apparently now the recycling lorries will have cameras that will check. So they... I don't know. As Ciara says, who knows what they will do with the information. But there is the possibility you could get that knock on the door and criticism over your pizza box. Ciara Doherty, broadcaster, Cillian Woods, senior business reporter with the Business Post. Thank you both very much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.